I got a question I want to start with. I'm going to ask this morning, who in this room would say that their life is busy? This is not a trick. I see some of the looks on your face. You're like, I don't know if I want to answer that. Like, where's it? It's just an honest question. Like, who thinks that their life is busy? I mean, I'll raise my hand too. I feel like my life is busy. How many of you wish that you just had a little more time? Like maybe a couple more hours in the day? You know, just a few of us, most of the people that said they were busy. Because, you know, you think if I just had a little bit more time, right, I could just get those few more things done that I don't have time for. The things that get pushed to the side, maybe I could get those done. What I would say is that a couple more hours in the day is not going to make you less busy, right? You're just going to fill them with something else, with these other things. As a matter of fact, if we were given a couple more hours in the day, I'd say that we'd be even more busy, and we probably ultimately would be even more tired, because if you don't already realize it, we live in kind of a go, go, go world, right? Everybody's going, moving. I mean, try to schedule a meeting with more than two or three people. If you can get that done, try to reschedule a meeting of more than two or three people. Sometimes it is almost impossible, right? Well, I got this that day, and I got this that day, and it's like, oh man, well, what's everybody doing at 2 a.m. on Tuesday? You know, like, but the more we have, the more time we have, the more we do, but people are constantly on the move. They're constantly doing stuff. And then what we find is even in our slow time, people are still busy, especially in today's day and age with all the connections that we have. How many of you, every time that you have downtime or time that you can rest, do that without a TV on? Without a laptop on, a tablet on, a phone in your hand, all these different things that we have. A lot of times we're doing that stuff and we may feel like, you know, we're sitting here and as the battery is draining on your electronic device, you may think that you're kind of recharging yours. It does not work like that. That's kind of like osmosis, okay? You don't just like absorb the energy. As it's draining on that, it's not necessarily filling on your part. Because that's not the rest that you really need in your life. In a busy life, it's critical that we have true, genuine rest in our life. If we don't have that, I'm going to tell you what will happen. You will wear down. Physically, you will wear down. Mentally, you will wear down. Spiritually, you will wear down if you do not have rest. So today, as we dive into the scriptures, I want to think, if you are in that place, if you are tired, if you are weary, if you are worn down, today is going to be your day to find rest. Amen? You receive that today? Today is going to be your day to find rest. As we look at the fourth commandment, we're going to answer that question of who needs rest. So if you would turn to Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 1 and 2, it says this. He says, Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. We've basically heard that brought up at least twice already today by different people. He is the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. You may not have been in Egypt, okay, maybe he's speaking to Israel there, but he did bring you out of a place of slavery. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. These are the words of the Lord. Okay, these commandments are not man-made rules, and they're not God's suggestions. These are the standards that a holy, almighty God put into place so that we, his people, would know to love him, to love each other, and we must take them seriously. So we've looked at, don't have any other gods besides me. We've looked at that. We've looked at, don't make an idol for yourself. We looked at, do not misuse the name of the Lord. And now here, the fourth one, starting in verse 8, says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. A couple of things there. Ladies, I think you're free to work on the Sabbath, by the way. It said me, my son, and my daughter. Slave. I mean, even the animals can't work, but ladies, I guess it's okay for you. That's not true. The lady is implied in the you because they are one, okay? So ladies, sorry, you can't. You get it off. No slaving on the Sabbath. But right here, this commandment is it's probably the most difficult to actually understand and apply today. As I was reading through my study Bibles even, I mean, people have, some people have the stance of you must observe the Sabbath, you must take this day, and you don't do anything on this day. It's a day that's set aside for the Lord. And then other people are like, the Sabbath is for then, and today you don't have to do that. I mean, like, clear, I believe this, as I have my study Bibles laid out, and I was like, oh man, what a mess. I told Bud yesterday, Bud and Jason, I said, and TJ, I talked to a few different people yesterday, and I was like, or Friday, and thought, man, this is hard. Okay, the Sabbath is hard. It's not hard to comprehend, but it's hard to explain, okay, and make clear. So I'm going to do my best here, but this is one, again, some people altogether dismiss it, and some people religiously, in almost in its original context, think it should be applied today. Now, there's something unique about this commandment. This is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not repeated in the New Testament. Okay, it's the only one that they don't just lay over in the New Testament and basically say the same thing over again. And this makes it a little challenging to interpret, but the other ones are all there. They're very clear in this one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So first you got to know, what is the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? Do not say Sunday. Sunday, you would be wrong, okay? But what does Sabbath mean? In the original Hebrew, the meaning is to rest. Yeah, it's to rest, or other words are to cease. Because not only are you resting, but you're stopping doing something. You're stopping work to desist, okay? You're supposed to take a break away from what you're doing and rest. And so what God is commanding here is that man take time from work, or you can look at it in our society today, being busy. Okay, if you don't have a job, it doesn't mean you don't need rest. You may not go somewhere and get a W-2 once a year from it, but that doesn't mean that you don't need rest. Even from being busy, we've got to take a break and have rest. So he talks the whole second part of that. He talks about the work. He talks about what you can't do, and he talks about how God himself, when he made the heavens and the earth, he took a break. He rested. Work is a good thing. You know, unfortunately, work is not a result of the fall. Okay? We were always intended to work. Adam was supposed to work the ground before the fall. It just wasn't going to be so hard, right? Work is always something that man was intended to do. One of my favorite verses we like to use a lot at home, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. In fact, when we were here with you, this is what we commanded to you. If anyone isn't willing to work, then he should not eat. How many of you use that at your home? You should if you haven't. Bud and Jan, a couple of you use that. If you don't work, you don't eat. All right, work is important because food is important, okay? God always intended for man to work. Work isn't the problem, okay? If you are so busy in your life, I'm going to tell you what's not the problem. Work. People need to work. Everyone needs to work. Everyone was created to work, and maybe you've had your season, maybe you're retired. I'm not saying you have to go get a job, Jan. It's okay. You put in lots of years of work, and you're still working. You're still work. I know it. I've seen it. But we see this pattern set here. God says work is important. He always intended for man to work, but he also always intended for man to rest. We see this again with God himself. Here it was recorded in Exodus 20, and if you go back to Genesis 2, you can look at it in its original context, but God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to say that I cannot believe that a God who is spirit and was not in a physical body needed to rest. I don't believe that he was worn down and was like, you know what? Man, that was rough. I can't take it anymore. I've got to take a day off. I don't believe that. I can't believe that for a second that he needed rest. But what we see here is God was establishing a pattern for a rhythm of life. That you work 6 days and you take a day off. And he was doing this for his creation. He did it in creation, I believe, for his creation. This is a spiritual, emotional, and physical principle. You need a time of rest. You need a change of pace. You need a break from busy. Okay, how many of you work your job and all you're working for is the weekend? What's that song? Everybody's working for the weekend. Remember that? Man, because you are looking forward to that rest. Now, hopefully, you're working, you're doing everything you do unto the Lord, and you do an excellent job when you're at work. But it's okay to be looking forward to the weekend, because rest is important, and you need rest. And see, we see this commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Now, the legal requirement is gone. We've talked about that throughout this series because of Christ, because of what he has done, that he is the fulfillment of the law. We see the legal obligation is gone, but the principle remains intact. You need a day of rest because it's really how God created you. And as I was studying this, I came across this story about during the French Revolution. Okay, the French Revolution, their desire was if something has to do with religion, we're getting it out of here. Right? They wanted to be just godless in all their ordinances and all their rules. Just if it's religious, let's get rid of it. So they said, you know, they worked 6 days. They took the seventh day off. Actually, they took the first day off, but they thought it was the seventh. Regardless, they were taking Sundays off. And they thought, you know what? To get rid of this religion out of our society, we're going to go to a 10-day work week or a 10-day week. 9 days of work, 1 day off. How many of you would love that if your job was like, you know what? Listen, Lena, we're going to go to a 9-day work week, and then you get 1 day off. Most of us wouldn't even like it if you had to do the 6-1. Most people get 5-2 nowadays. But how would you like it if your job said 9-1? That's what we're going with. Well, that's what they did. The French Revolution, they're like, you know what? We're going to get rid of this religion out of our society. And so we go to a 9-day work week with 1 day off. What they found was over time, and I don't know how long they did it. This is what happened. People got tired. People were weary. Production went down. They were not able to handle this extra load. And so what they did is they switched back to a 7-day week, 6 days on, 1 day off. And they said, we will do this in the name of hygiene, not in the name of religion. Now, the reason I share that story is because it shows that it's a built into our system, something that God has ordained for us to have rest. And really, even the timing of it, this the 6-1. You know, a lot of people, even if they only work 5 days a week, on Saturday, they're running around doing this, that, and the other thing, working on their yard or doing errands, whatever they need to get done, and then they still do the rest on Sunday, on the first day, or seventh day to some. But you see that it's built into our nature and what our body and our spirit and our mind, what it needs. So this is a commandment it's for our benefit. It's good. God created and then he rested. You are to work and then you're to rest. But what does this original command mean for us today? Okay, because we're not under that law. You don't have to do nothing on Saturday and take a full Sabbath. It's good to rest, but there's more than that to it. If we look at the original law, as you read through Exodus, you'll see the law expanded. You'll see these other things that were put in with it. Not only could you not work, but in Exodus 16:29, we're told you can't leave your home. Okay, if you want to honor like a real Sabbath, you can't leave your house. Some of you are like, I'm totally fine with that. I get to stay home all day and do nothing. You also can't build a fire. Okay, so listen, they didn't have a furnace back then. They didn't have natural gas. They didn't have propane. It was like you wanted to stay warm, you built a fire. Well, you can't build a fire on the Sabbath, so you stay home and you stay cold, okay? With no light, there's no electricity, okay, when it starts to get dark out. You also, in Deuteronomy 5:14, you couldn't cause other people to work. Okay, so let's look at it for today. We would have to turn the lights off, because if you got lights, somebody's on the other end working, right? If you got gas, somebody's on the other end working. You got water, somebody's on the other end working. You got TV, somebody's on the other end working. You got your cell phone, somebody's on the other end working. You want to go out to eat lunch? No, you can't leave your house, so it doesn't matter. You want to have it delivered? Nope. Causing somebody else to work. Okay? And during this time, if you were to break the Sabbath, you were put to death. How many of you would like to observe the Sabbath now? It doesn't sound so great under that context. So, you know, I've been saying again, this, the commandments, they're for today. So what are we supposed to do with this today? How do we apply it to our lives today? What does the New Testament say about the Sabbath? In Colossians chapter 2, we see this. It says, "And when you were dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave all your trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day," because here it is, "these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah." It's all about Jesus. The Sabbath was part of it that was to lead us to Jesus. It's all pointing to him. Everything in the Old Testament foreshadows and points to and is directed at Christ. So originally, the Israelites were given this law about the Sabbath. And you got to imagine, they're in this time where they're wandering through the wilderness, and God had freed them from captivity. They were to stop. If you remember, they could not collect food on the Sabbath, right? They would collect double the day before. And they would really, truly sit that day aside, stop their wandering, gather together, and they would honor the Lord on the Sabbath. They would remember his deliverance from captivity. Now, as we look through the New Testament, you don't see Jesus or the apostles keeping the Sabbath. In fact, what you see is over and over and over, you see Jesus getting in trouble, right, for breaking the Sabbath. Over and over and over, the religious leaders, they're like, "You're breaking the Sabbath. You can't do that." See, the Jewish leaders had added all these categories of forbidden activities. They're like, "Well, we think that means you can't do this and you can't do this." They had this big, long rule, this rule book of what you can't do on the Sabbath. And they made the Sabbath more than it was intended to be. Is that not like men, to just screw things up that God made for good? And they're like, "You know what? We're going to make it more difficult. We're going to make it impossible." See, when Jesus was questioned, you know, we see him healing the sick on the Sabbath. And he's like, "Is it not, like, can you not heal a sick person on the Sabbath? Like, I mean, really? What about picking grain?" We see him picking grain with his disciples to eat on the Sabbath. He walked this earth without sinning, therefore he did not break the Sabbath. Regardless of what the Pharisees said, regardless of what their rules and regulations were, Jesus did not break the Sabbath. And they're saying over and over and over, "You're breaking the Sabbath. You can't do that." What he didn't do was he didn't observe the traditions of man that had been added to the law. And we see him when he follows up the time of eating the wheat in verse 12 of Matthew. He says, "For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." He says, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." First, I want to show you that this is Christ revealing his deity. Those who say, "Well, he never said that he was God." Oh, yes, he did. He said he was God several times, and this is one of them. He says, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." He's the ruler of a God-made law. He is God. Okay? He created the Sabbath. And I'll tell you what, the creator is always greater than the creation. The creator is always greater than the creation. He claimed the authority to correctly interpret the meaning of the Sabbath and the laws that pertain to it. And so because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, he's free to do what he wants on it, whatever he pleases. And listen, it's not that he was breaking it. He's not a rule breaker, but he was fulfilling the Sabbath law with his life. And so we see Jesus didn't keep the Sabbath in the traditional sense. We also don't see the apostles teaching about it, right? After Jesus left, do you see John? Do you see Paul? Do you see Peter? Do you see any of them teaching about observing the Sabbath? No, you don't. So they were not teaching us to observe it. They also never told us any kind of penalty for not keeping it. There's a list of penalties. There are a list of things that we're not to do, and the penalties go with it. Things like you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God if you do these things. The keeping the Sabbath was never included in these scriptures. So when we see the Sabbath brought up in the New Testament, it's one of two things. It's either strictly applying to the Jewish people, okay, and their traditions. And then the other is when we see Jesus saying, you know, I'm not breaking the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And so a quick note here. Again, I want to say, because I kind of mentioned it briefly, but if we were to observe the Sabbath, it would be on Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. Okay? So we're not to just look at the Lord on one specific day of the week where we just dedicate 2 hours to him. But in the traditional Old Testament sense, we do not observe the Sabbath as it was, because the old covenant that God made with Israel was specific to them at that time, and we are under the new covenant. We are under grace. How many of you are thankful that we're under grace? Romans 6:14, for sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. Everyone is thankful for grace. Grace is a free gift, right? It's when you're given something that you don't deserve and something that you did not earn. But I'll tell you what grace does not mean. It does not mean less. Grace does not mean less. It actually means more. It doesn't even mean that less is required of you. It means more is required of you, okay? Instead of dedicating a day to set aside to the Lord, grace says you should set aside your life to the Lord. Who needs a day to give to the Lord if you're living your life for him? If every single day your focus is on him, if he is what you're looking for, it's less about a day and it's more about a changed life. So today, you know, here we are, we're worshiping the Lord on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of the week that he rose from the dead. It's a great, wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you the difference between the law and grace in regards to us gathering together. Okay, in the law, they got a day of rest after working 6 days. What does that sound like? Sounds like a reward. Sounds like something that maybe you kind of earned. Right? Like I kind of deserve it because I worked 6 days. I'd put in my time for this day off. I earned it. Something that I deserve. Notice under grace, we get the rest up front, right? Today is the first day of the week. This is a new beginning if you look at your calendar. And grace gives you rest right up front, free of charge. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. To obtain it, you get the rest right up front. But again, I want to say today, our rest is not about doing it on a particular day. We see the apostles, they set the precedent of us gathering and meeting on Sundays. But I also want to tell you that I really believe with all my heart that Jesus doesn't care what day of the week that we gather together. We could do it on a Thursday, and he would be totally fine with that. You realize that? He doesn't care what day of the week. That's religion. That is the law. He doesn't care what day of the week we gather, because it's not about a day of the week. It's about entering the rest of a particular person, Jesus Christ. This is what he desires for his people. And again, it doesn't mean that it's not wise to take a day of the week, because it is. It's a healthy principle, the Sabbath. It's a great thing. And again, if you can dedicate a day of your week to the Lord, that is awesome. Do it. And you know what? If someone else thinks that they need to do that, don't tell them that they shouldn't. I mean, really, don't tell them that they shouldn't. If that's important to them, if that's their conviction, if they have the ability in their schedule to do it and the desire to do it, man, they have made a great decision. But it also doesn't mean that you have to do it if you're just living your life for the Lord. So, you know, our bodies need rest. We need to work, and then we need to have a healthy habit of taking a break and taking rest. But what about our spirit? What about our spirit, the part that is eternal? You know what? You're going to get a new body one day. How about a praise Jesus? Who would take that right now, today? A new body. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get that one day. But I'll tell you what, the spirit that you got right now, that's eternal. He doesn't just replace it with a new one. It's not the way that it works. This is something we're supposed to be spiritually resting in the Lord. We're supposed to be giving that over to Him because it does need rest. How many of you, your spirit gets tired and weary? I know mine does. Jason, if you guys would come up. You know, I believe church attendance is important on many levels, but the most important reason, I believe, is the community that we have here. When we find encouragement and we're pointed back to Christ. It's what Bud was sharing earlier. We desire that we come together, that we have that dedication, not just to the Lord, but to our brothers and sisters, that encouragement, that building up in the faith, but it all has to point back to Him. Some days you can come here, you know what? I'll tell you, you can come and you can find rest. I've been in church on days where spiritually I'm tired, spiritually I'm weary, and I have found rest for that day. I've found rest. You can do it. It can happen. But it's not supposed to be. Church service Sunday morning is not supposed to be your long-term solution, your long-term recharging station. That's not what God's design was. This is supposed to be an equipping and serving place. That's what the church is for. You come worship Him, you come and learn, and you come and do God's work. Where true rest comes is only in Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Does He say that you will earn it? No. Does He say you deserve it? No, He doesn't. He says, come to me, and I will give it to you. This is not a physical rest that He's speaking of. We use this scripture all the time just for people that are just kind of worn down in general. This is specifically spiritual rest that Jesus is offering. I'm going to tell you what. You know, but if you're tired from working, from physical work, you can get physical rest, right? I mean, you just make a decision. Today, I'm not doing anything. Now, maybe you can't do that. maybe your personality is I have things I need to do. But you can make a decision. Today, I'm going to get physical rest. And you can just do it. Now, it may seem a little harder, but I'm going to tell you that you can even do the same thing emotionally and mentally, right? I'm going to unplug from whatever my situation is. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to do something to get my mind on something else. You can get mental rest just on your own. It may not last long, but you can get it for a season. You know what? I'm done thinking about that. I'm going to watch a movie. I'm done thinking about that. I'm going to go do this with this person and get my mind off of it. You can go get rest anytime you want, physically and mentally. But I'll tell you what, you cannot find spiritual rest any other place than in the presence of God. That is it. You can't just go get it. You can't just decide, you know what? I'm going to get my spiritual rest on right now. I'll tell you what, you can do things to get there. You can spend time in prayer and in worship and in the word, but if the presence of the Lord is not there, you will not find rest. Rest is found in his presence. When you're connected with him, joined with him, that Matthew verse talks about being yoked up with him, how his yoke is light. His yoke is easy. I'll tell you what, this means that he carries the troubles. He carries the worry. He carries the things that weigh you down when you're connected with him. What happens as soon as you disconnect? Who's carrying the weight now? You are. It's back on you. Rest is only found in his presence. Exodus 33:14. He replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Rest is always preceded by his presence, or it's not rest. So today, we've had communion. We've had some fellowship with the Lord. Today, I want to offer an opportunity for people to find rest in the Lord. If you would stand with me. Now again, I say if you need physical and mental rest, man, God can certainly help you with that, but it takes a change of lifestyle on your part. It takes a change of putting time into your schedule. But I want to specifically call out this morning those who need spiritual rest. Those who feel like they're just beat up, worn down spiritually. I don't know what to do. I can't take it any longer. And we want to provide a place today that you can find rest. So if you would bow your heads in this place this morning, and I want to pray and see what the Lord wants us to do. But Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a God of rest. Lord, that where your presence is, that the burdens that we carry in our spirit, that it's made light. That the relief comes off of us, that the weight comes off of our shoulders. Because you bear the load for us, alongside us, with us. It's not like you just take the load and even take it far away from us, but you shoulder the load and come alongside us, and you bear the brunt of the load and help us through it. Lord, I thank you that you're not a God that always just wipes things away, but that you would help us through it, that we could build our character, we could build in integrity, we could build in faith and build in relationship with you and with people throughout the processes. And so, Father, we just pray right now over each and every person in this place. If they need rest, I pray that today that you would put it on their hearts to come forward. Today that they would find spiritual rest in you. That, Lord, it's your presence that we desire. It is your presence that overcomes every single obstacle and every single difficulty that we have in our life. That you are the answer. We declare that Jesus is the answer to every problem, every issue that we may have. And Lord, that in your presence, darkness has to flee. In your presence, worry has to flee. In your presence, anxiety has to flee. In your presence, the feelings of us not being worthy and us not having a place and us being not being as good as we ought to be, that all those things have to flee in your presence. Lord, we thank you, God, that we don't have to trust in ourselves, that our trust can be in you, that it is your presence that our heart desires. It's your presence that we are longing for. It's your presence that we're calling out for when we worship. And Lord, we just ask right now for those who are in need, that they would encounter your presence right here at this altar today, this morning, and that they will find rest. We don't just say it because it's words to say, but Lord, your word says it, that your presence will go out with them and that they will find rest. And so we ask for that this morning. We just call upon your name. And we say that you are true, you are faithful, you are just, and that you are a God who desires for his children to have rest. So as we come forward this morning, I ask that we would find it here right now In Jesus' name, amen.